بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، my brothers and sisters, we are talking about the approach to the Quran, how the Sahaba approached the Quran, and as I said, we are taking the examples of the messenger of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, as well as the examples of the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in, as the best examples to follow, because this is what we know from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's kalam and from the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now the reason I'm saying this is because if you look at one thing that one of the zillion differences between the Sahaba and ourselves, it is that with the Sahaba, the Quran brought about changes in their lives. And this was the result, this was the reason why in one single generation, the companions of Rasulullah ﷺ, the Muslims, went from being the most oppressed, the most downtrodden, the most hated, the most uninfluential, the weakest people, to becoming role models, to becoming people who were looked up to, the most beloved, the most influential, and eventually the rulers of the time. In one generation, they went from being at the bottom of the pit to not only coming out of the pit themselves, but bringing others out of the pit as well. Now, how did that happen? It happened by them taking the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as if it had been personally revealed to each one of them. We know the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu was revealed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but for the Sahaba, it was as if every ayat came for that individual himself. So when they heard an ayah, when they read an ayah, it was for them as if something that Allah was saying to them individually, personally. And they took it personally, they took it to heart, and they changed their lives completely in order to fulfill the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the reason why they would follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam so closely, because effectively, if you look at, as I said earlier, if you look at what is the meaning of obedience to Allah, it is to follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is the secret of the Sahaba, and I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us this, quality, so that when we approach the Quran in our personal study, as well as in our collective studies, in our halaqat and so on, that we approach it with this humility and with this example in mind, the example of the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in. Let me try and give you some examples from the lives of the Sahaba of what they did and how they approached the Quran and how it changed their lives. One of the most striking and dramatic examples is that of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, who started off by being one of the most hard enemies of Rasulullah ﷺ, to the point of being perhaps the first or the only person, or definitely the first person perhaps, to actually draw a sword and say, I will go and kill Muhammad ﷺ. Now, when he did that, and there he was on his way to Rasulullah ﷺ, and this was in 616 Hijri, one year after the some of the people migrated to Abyssinia. In Ibn Ishaq's Sira, he says that on his way to murder Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Umar radiallahu anhu met his best friend Nu'aym bin Abdullah, who had secretly converted to Islam, but he had not told Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, because people were afraid of him. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu was a very big man. He was a wrestler. He knew martial arts. He was well versed in the arts of war, and he was known to be a hard man. He was a great friend, but he was also an intractable enemy. So people were afraid to talk to him or tell him something which they feared might incur his wrath. So Nu'aym bin Abdullah, who was his best friend, became Muslim, but he didn't tell Umar bin al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. So now he met Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu with his drawn sword going somewhere. So he asked him, what's the matter? Where are you going? So he said, I'm going to kill Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nu'aym said, by Allah, Ya Umar, you have deceived yourself. Do you think that the Banu Abdul Munaf would let you run around alive once you had killed their son Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He said, why don't you go to your own house and set that straight at least? So Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu asked him, what do you mean my house? He said, go see what's happened to your sister. Go and check your sister and her husband. And his husband was Sayyid bin Zayd, who was a cousin of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. So he said, you go and see what's happened there. So Sayyidina Umar got extremely angry, and it was for him almost like a betrayal. How can my own sister become Muslim? So he, with this drawn sword in his hand, he turned towards his sister's house. And when he got there, he heard from outside the house, he heard some ayat of the Quran. And Ibn Ishaq says that this was from Surah Taha, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّنِي أَنَ اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنَا فَعَبُدْنِي وَأَقِمِ السَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِ. The story of Musa alayhi salam and his encounter with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all the story of Musa alayhi salam is a beautiful story, which is in this surah, in Surah Taha. And Musa alayhi salam encountered Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to him, verily, I am Allah. There is no one worthy of worship except me. So establish salah for my dhikr. Now, Sayyidina Umar heard this. He hammered on the door. His sister hid the pages of the Quran. Then she opened the door. And when she opened the door, Sayyidina Umar entered in and he started quarreling with his brother-in-law and his cousin, Sayyid bin Zayd, radiallahu anhu. And when his sister came to rescue her husband, he started, it turned into a sort of melee. And both of them, they said, you can kill us, but we will not give up Islam. Now, upon hearing these words, Sayyidina Umar slapped his sister so hard that she fell to the ground bleeding from her mouth. When he saw what he had done to his sister, he calmed down out of guilt. And he said to his sister, he said, give me what you are reciting. His sister said, no, you are unclean and no unclean person can touch the Quran. So I will not give you. He kept on insisting, but she would not give him. And she said, go wash yourself, go and bathe. So finally, Sayyidina Umar went and he bathed and he came back. And then he read these ayats of Surah Taha. إِنَّنِي أَنَ اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنَا فَعْبُدْنِي وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِ. And he started weeping. And he started weeping and said, surely this is the word of Allah. He said, surely this is the word of Allah. And I bear witness that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, Khabbab radiallahu anhu was their teacher and he was hiding through all this whole thing because he thought Sayyid bin Zayd and the sister of Umar ibn al-Khattab, because of the relationship, they have some protection, but I have no protection, so Umar will just kill me. So he was hiding, so he came out and he said, yeah, Umar, he said, glad tidings to you, good news to you. Yesterday, Rasulullah ﷺ prayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he said, oh Allah, strengthen Islam with either Umar or Abu Jahl, whomever you like. And he says, it seems that this dua was accepted in your favor. Now, Umar radiallahu anhu, he was 39 years old when he accepted Islam. So he went to Baytul Arqam, where Rasulullah was, and he hammered on the door and didn't realize he still had his drawn sword. So people inside, they were afraid. They came to the door, they saw this, and they said, Subhanallah, this is Umar, and he has a drawn sword. So Hamza bin Abdul Muttalib radiallahu anhu, he was there, and he said, don't worry, open the door. If Umar's intention is good, then he will see Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If his intention is not good, then I will kill him with his own sword. They opened the door, and of course, as Umar radiallahu anhu, by then had accepted Islam in his heart, he came and Hamza bin Abdul Muttalib radiallahu anhu grabbed him by his collar and literally sort of dragged him before Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he forced him down on his knees. Sayyidina Umar was ready to accept Islam. He had come with that intention by then. So he accepted Islam. Now this was such a wonderful thing for the Muslims that after this, the Islam became public in Makkah. Rasulullah brought the Muslims out in two columns. One column headed by Umar ibn al-Khattab, the other column headed by Hamza bin Abdul Muttalib radiallahu anhuma, and Rasulullah walked between them, and they came to the Haram, they came to the Kaaba, and they announced the Islam. Now, the reason I'm mentioning the story of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu is because the question I ask myself is that these ayat of Surah Taha, إِنَّنِي أَنَا اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنَا فَأَعْبُدْنِي وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِ. We know these ayat, we have memorized these ayat, we have heard these ayat many times, we have read these ayat many times. These ayat changed somebody who was as hard-hearted with regard to Islam, and with regard to the enmity with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. These ayat changed him and completely and totally 180 degrees flipped him into becoming one of the greatest friends of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and one of his two companions, one of his two best companions, Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhu. How did it happen? Because I ask myself, I read this ayat, I have heard this ayat many times. How come it doesn't do this to me? I mean, how come my heart is still the same? Now, if you see even the opening ayat of Surah Taha, see how beautiful this surah is and how beautiful the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu is. Because it starts with the huruf al-muqatta'at. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, طه ما أنزلنا عليك القرآن لتشقى. Just the second ayat, Allah says, we have not revealed the Quran to you that you may be unsuccessful. Now, I request you, my brothers and sisters, think about this. Allah is saying that this kalam, meaning this deen, this Islam, didn't come so that you will become humiliated. It didn't come so that you will become unsuccessful. It didn't come to make you losers. It came to make you winners. I mean, here is a rhetorical statement. Allah is saying, Ma anzalna alayka al-Qur'ana litashqa. We have not revealed this Quran to you that you may be unsuccessful. Now, what is our view of Islam? I'm not saying that we think that Islam came to make us unsuccessful, but constantly our thing is, oh, but if I follow Islam, what about my business? If I follow Islam, what about my society? If I follow Islam, what about my profession? If I follow Islam, what will happen to my country? If I am a ruler of the country, if I follow Islam, you know, how will my country be in comparison with the world? Today, we are failures. Today, we are hated. Today, we are uninfluential. Today we are rejected by the world, not because we follow Islam, but because we go against Islam in the name of Islam. This is our problem. we say we follow Islam. Our biggest problem is that we say we follow Islam. I think we should stop saying this. If somebody says, are you a Muslim? We must say, I'm not sure. I don't know. Let me first figure that out for myself. Because wallahi, if I'm a Muslim, then how do I do some things which I do? I mean, I'm not saying individually, but I'm saying individually and collectively as a society, as people, as countries, as groups. Today we find Muslims engaged in all kinds of things which have nothing to do with Islam, but people say, see, Muslims are doing this, Muslims, and people are right because we call ourselves Muslims. So what do we want people to say? If we call ourselves Muslim and we are doing something which is against Islam, we want people to say, oh, but you see, here is a complex situation where this person is calling himself Muslim, but let us not be deceived. His action is nothing to do with Islam. So Islam is this very beautiful religion, but it's only this individual which is bad. Come on, man, give me a break. I mean, nobody's doing this, this mental gymnastics, right? People, if you do something, they label you according to the label that you gave yourself. And the label you gave yourself is, I am Muslim. Therefore, the world is fully justified in taking and considering every action you and I do as the action of Muslims, therefore sanctioned by Islam. And no amount of our begging and pleading and no amount of our game playing is going to change that. And Allah is saying that if you are Muslim, if you follow Islam, you will be winners. You will not be losers. You will be winners. Because I did not send this deen to make you losers. I did not send this kalam, this kitab, this book, this message to make you losers. My brothers and sisters, I simply rest my case. I ask myself, I remind myself and I remind you, please let us get real in our lives. Let us look at the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us approach it from one perspective only, which is, this came for me. This kitab came for me. This ayat came for me. And then say your name. This ayat came for me. Allah is saying this to me. I did not send this Quran in order to make you a loser, in order to make you unsuccessful. Who is Allah saying this to? Allah is saying it to me, Yavar Bek. Allah is saying this to you, whoever you, whatever your name is. Say this to yourself and then make sure that your life is on that kitab because you want to be a winner. If you want to be a loser, then I think you got to find somewhere else to do that, because Islam can't help you. Islam cannot help you to be a loser, because Islam came to make you and me winners. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open our eyes and open our hearts and enable us to practice this deen completely, fully and totally in a way that pleases Him, Jalla Jalaluhu. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.